Hi, I'm Ryan Penny, and welcome to The Catholic Sphere. This week, we are joined once again by our diverse Catholic guests to discuss artificial intelligence and social media. First, we have with us again Father Ambrose Crist, a Norbertine priest from St. Michael's Abbey. He joins us from the monastery in California. We also have with us Franco Aurelio Fernandez, who runs the Instagram account TheFrancoTV. He's with us today from Virginia. And finally, we're joined by returning guest John French, who is the mastermind behind John is Catholic. Collectively, these gentlemen have over 250,000 followers on Instagram. And John, the first question today is for you. If AI-generated sacred and faith-influenced art has the ability to turn hearts to the divine, should we care that it's not created personally and directly by a human and instead focus on the end result?
I would say we should focus on the means just as much as the ends, because the means matters in achieving the ends. And so, look, there's absolutely a place for AI art in content creation. But ultimately, like, what people are drawn to in their walk with Christ is walking alongside other people. So insofar as a creative or content creator's content is an expression of their walk with God and their admiration and desire to be united to God, I think that personal witness is way more powerful than kind of AI-generated content. That's not to say, again, that it's not powerful, but again, the means is important as to how we achieve things. And that also includes using AI responsibly as well.
So speaking of using AI responsibly, Father, I want to get back on this topic of the ethics behind AI and what the possibilities are. So according to Britannica Online, it says, despite continuing advances in computer processing speed and memory capacity, there are as yet no programs that can match full human flexibility over wider domains or in tasks requiring much everyday knowledge. Father, do you agree with Elon Musk that artificial intelligence will surpass human intelligence by 2029, the smartest human by 2025, and that similar to some of the most popular sci-fi movies, humans risk being overtaken by AI within the next 5 years? Do you agree with that? And most importantly, what does this mean for our understanding of the image of God and man and the self-awareness that was once thought to be a created ability exclusive to humans and angels?
First of all, I would agree with Elon Musk in that this is a powerful, powerful means of technology where, because of the rapidity, the speed, it's such a powerful tool that it can mimic the human intellect, and it can also surpass the speed with which we're able to solve problems and answer questions and so forth. I absolutely agree with that. However, I'll say again, like we said in our last episode, that this is only a mimicry, an imitation of intelligence. So what AI can never do, even the most advanced large language model, ChatGPT and all of its analogs in the digital space, it can't imitate the sort of human self-awareness or also the gifts that God has given us that are part of our rational nature, the instincts of human nature, the intellectual gifts like knowing reality in a non-material way. This is something that a machine can never do. So even though it's a powerful and in that respect dangerous technology, it's not ever going to replace human intellectual capabilities. As you said, only humans and angels have a rational soul, which means an immortal and therefore blessed by the gift of reason. Any machine, however closely it approximates that, will never actually be that. And so the danger for us is that we will somehow begin to think that these thinking machines are the same as human creatures. And so this is where the real danger lies for Christians and for all people of goodwill. We need to remember that our human nature is something that is created by God and that is immortal. Our souls are immortal, and there's no machine that can reduplicate that or imitate that. So I think that recognizing the potencies in these amazing technologies is really important, and also being aware of how they can deceive us and deceive us into thinking that in that computer is something that's almost like a human.
Brilliant, Father. Thank you for that very important reminder of that, that the fact that artificial intelligence, as you said, will never be able to compare to what God created in us, which is the image of Him, that we can't create something that could match that with even the most advanced technology. And maybe, just maybe, the more we see these advances, the more, hopefully, some more discerning souls, you think, would, well, be able to more greatly appreciate what only God can create. So speaking of more of what we can create, though, to great success, Franco, going back to what we were talking about last time of this particular post where you were asking AI to make romantic Catholic art, and that post got over 160,000 views. How would you respond to someone who says, sort of like a photoshopped model on the cover of a magazine, that AI art can depict a vision of Catholic life that is overly idealistic and unattainable and only sends a potential convert up for disappointment? How would you respond to that?
That's such an interesting question, because I would want to know, like, what exactly, like, I would have to see which exact image they would put up that question in, because I mean, like, you know, if I were to make some image that somehow depicts the Pope being perfect in every sense, then obviously, yeah, I would agree. Like, that's like setting them up for failure, which is obviously not what Catholics believe. And of course, not what not any image that I've created, like, that it emulates it in some way. I would say that because the AI gets its inspiration from the images that are out there, everything out there is real. So it's not as if it's like, and of course, I think that when it's explicitly told to people, like, this is artificial intelligence, I think people already kind of like have it in their mind, like, okay, if they're seeing like some, like, these enormous sparkles and all this stuff, like this futuristic space-like sort of vision of a mother and father holding a child, I don't think they're gonna look at that and be like, I better see that at the next Catholic church I go to. But obviously show the best of what we have, right? And of course, I'm not trying to, this just pretty much goes to show like how we present ourselves in the public. I mean, how I present myself in public is obviously going to be very more prudent than how I, you know, if you spend 24 hours with me, of course, it's not going to be, you know, my future wife is going to be like, oh, wow. Like, you know, she's going to know a lot more of me than somebody that just sees me every weekend or just on my videos and stuff like that. And I think that that can kind of translate to that, to AI, that we show the best of it, like shows like either super crazy sort of depiction of the Catholic faith, or it just shows, which still retains like the whole like thing of like a person looking at it and be like, okay, that's, they're just depicting a priest here, but obviously the priest isn't going to be like some, you know, maybe if somebody were to make like a priest that's like insanely muscular, like ridiculously muscular, it gets to that point where it's like people can just identify like, that's obviously not real. Yep. Or, you know, we show the best cases, which people are like, okay, that's real, obviously, but these are like the best cases. I think people can have that sort of judgment of like, that judgment of it that won't set them up for disappointment in the future.
Right. So they can have that judgment. Yeah. Of like, you know, what they're looking at, they can tell like it's okay to represent the best of what things can be. But speaking about the judgment that we need to use on social media, so John, your brother, Father Sam French, has almost 160,000 followers on Instagram. And you talk about how, unlike most of what is on social media that is designed to keep us watching and scrolling as long as possible, your priest brother produces his content, you say, with what you describe as a genius way of breaking the doom scroll. What do you mean by this?
Yeah, so just for context, this idea of the doom scroll is basically this kind of habitual and mindless and aimless scrolling through TikTok and Instagram reels, like no real goal or intent in mind other than just receiving instant gratification. And so this idea of breaking the doom scroll, it almost seems ironic that we're creating content that adds to the platform that is the brain rot fest of Instagram. But the thing is, the difference is in the content, and that is that the content is based around Christian virtue. And so it points the viewer to God and the church. And these things innately draw us to the higher things, recognizing that we are beyond just our immediate, like, fleshly desires, and which we receive through scrolling on TikTok and Instagram, and we are drawn and provoked to a higher a higher calling. And that calling is to be a servant to God and a servant to other people. And so, yeah, breaking the doom scroll is essentially making Christian content that provokes people to live to their higher calling that God has given them.
So more on this theme of how to be a servant content creator online, I want to ask a question to all three of you, but I want to ask Franco first. So what are the principles Catholic content creators should use in employing the use of AI on their platform? So, John, you were just talking about having like a servant mindset. What are some of the other principles that we need online in making this content for people?
So, like John said, the means have to matter. This is one of the favorite things that I love about the Catholic Church, is that the means, we can't just excuse evil means to achieve good ends. So I definitely think that some principles to keep in mind, I mean, again, it's like, I think it would really just translate from like principles and ethics that we get from things such as photography or stuff like this. I think that we have to keep in mind to not, you know, if the AI makes up something that's immodest, for example, you know, either clothing wise or stuff, or, you know, something like that, I think we should do our due diligence to make sure that it's that we, you know, work around that, make sure we find some other image, make sure to change it to some extent or whatever, right? Because we don't want to scandalize people. We want to make sure that we're keeping it to a modest level, make sure that we are being ethical in this stuff. So I would say that, like, that's, it's very, I would say it's generally very vague. I think that it really depends on like what exactly you're trying to depict. And then from there, you move forward with a good amount of, with the Holy Spirit, with caution, with prayer. Also, if you're ever, and I do want to take this opportunity to really promote this, I've gotten so much help from having a spiritual counselor, and a priest is my spiritual counselor. And I think that a lot of Catholics, when we're unsure of certain things that we post online, and this just doesn't just go with AI, this just goes with in general. I think I really encourage so many Catholic influencers online to have a spiritual counselor to really, you know, whenever you have questions like maybe I'm not communicating this in the best way, or maybe I have doubts about something that I've created, I really encourage you to, like, you know, talk to a priest and like kind of, you know, have another set of eyes on that, especially from somebody who has holy orders. So I really would encourage that. That's kind of what I would proceed. I'll just sum that up by saying it's a case-by-case basis. Go see a spiritual counselor.
Yeah, that's a great point. In fact, we even had a priest on this show who's very active on social media, who told us that even he has a spiritual director who helps to keep him accountable with what he posts online. So if even holy priests are doing it, shouldn't we all? Catholic content creators. So, John, I want to ask you again, are there any other principles Catholic content creators should be using with their use of AI on their platforms?
Yeah, so number one, I think transparency. As AI develops, there's going to be more and more questions about what is real and what is fake. Like, we're even seeing videos online already of celebrities being deep faked, and people are in the comments section asking, like, is this real? This looks real, and yet it's fake. And so there's more and more questions about whether something is real. And so that's a responsibility on the part of the creator to be transparent about that if they are actually using AI as a part of their content creation. And that doesn't have to be a negative thing, as long as they're open and transparent about it. Beyond that, creativity in the sense that we're not just like completely allowing AI to take over all of the creative process, and also prayer, which Franco kind of touched on. You know, discerning, you know, how to use AI responsibly. And in all honesty, like, you could get as many views as you like. You could be using all the right trending sounds, all the hashtags and everything. If what you are doing is not proceeding from prayer, then it's essentially worthless, because prayer is the guiding force for our content, and it's our responsibility on the part as as creators, insofar as our creative content is a form of ministry, to be praying for our audience as well as for the creative process, that God would guide that.
So transparency and creativity, and most importantly, prayer. And speaking about transparency too, even YouTube and Google updated their terms of service this year that is requiring content creators to check the box if they've created any art that makes reality look like something other than what it actually is. So this is becoming more important, that even the secular world is beginning to demand some of these ethical requirements of us. And it's not just a concern for us Catholic content creators or YouTube and Google, but also the Holy Father and the Vatican. So Father Ambrose, I want to ask you this. So the Vatican and Pope Francis have spoken a lot in recent years about both the potential positive contributions of AI and the necessity of ethical use of it. But what does that mean for the average social media user's personal responsibility in using this technology?
Well, I think that, so we've been speaking about the responsibilities of the content creators, and that's one set of ethical principles. Certainly, I think you might think about how St. John the Baptist was famous in his day in his region. He was a celebrity of a sort, right? But he himself said, he must increase and I must decrease, speaking of Jesus Christ. So if Jesus Christ is, and his gospel and his salvation is amplified and glorified, then that's the right motivation, right? So as far as the user, the content consumer, which is probably the vast majority of people who are even watching this program, what is happening to my soul when I use social media or when I'm online? Am I growing in virtue, or am I simply degenerating into a self, sort of turning in on myself, as St. Augustine would say? Am I thinking too much about myself and my life is falling apart because I'm just going after the dopamine hit, which is what doom scrolling does for me? So the consumer of social media or of artificial intelligence created anything online has to be discerning about that. Well, are there human agents behind this, or am I being deceived? So there is a set of ethical principles for the creator, the content creator, and there's a set of ethical principles for the content consumer. And we have to be very discerning about both of those things. Is it good for my soul? Is Jesus Christ and his gospel and salvation amplified and glorified? Or am I slipping away from those beautiful and holy things?
Yes. So is our Lord being glorified? Is this drawing me closer to him? That's a question that we should all be asking. And for content creators, is this giving glory to God? Now, this next question is one for all of you, and it has to do with our desire of giving glory to God through our art. So I want to ask this to you first, Franco. It's said that St. Faustina lamented about the quality of the Divine Mercy painting the first time she saw it, because it didn't accurately depict the beauty of our Lord. And she said, "Who will paint you as beautiful as you are?" And then our Lord said to her, "Not in the beauty of the color nor of the brush lies the greatness of this image, but in my grace." So as far as Catholic content creation goes, how much do you think we should care about the quality and aesthetic beauty of content that we're creating?
Well, I obviously do think that God wants us to put our best effort into anything that we do, at least seriously. Mm-hmm. So I do think that we should be aiming to do that. But at the same time, I don't think we should be arrogantly perfectionist to a point where we think that it's all up to us, because at a certain point, right, we're only human and we can only do so much with the gifts that God has given us, and then we have to let his grace work with the rest. So I think that we should definitely be putting our best effort into that and then trust in God for the rest. Obviously, I don't think God will reward laziness, but I also don't think that he's gonna leave you stranded if you didn't do it perfectly. So I think that there is that balance to strike there, pretty much, with the with the self-discipline, the self, the self-accountability, but also that, but also that trust, that faith.
Yeah, the words that it's not all up to us. It's not, if our goal is to help to bring souls to our Lord through our evangelistic content online, we can't think that it all hangs in the balance of how perfect what we put out there is. Obviously, God's grace is what's most important. As Orler was talking about to St. Faustine, that ultimately it's about his grace. So, John, I want to ask you the same question. Is there a hint for us Catholic content creators in what our Lord said to St. Faustina?
Yeah, I think if we're looking at our art as an inadequate depiction of God, insofar as we are recognizing his like incomprehensible splendor and beauty, then I think that's a beautiful thing, and that's what we should do. But if we're looking at our art as an inadequate depiction of God, and we're thinking it's so bad to the degree that we're actually discouraged from continuing to produce art and content, then I think that's completely disordered. And it misses the point. The point being that ultimately, as Franco was saying, it's God's grace at work there. And that's really just the narrative of all of human history. Like we even see in the Bible, Moses being preoccupied with his inadequacy as a speaker in Exodus. He says to God, you know, I have this speech impediment. And God says, who are you talking to right now? I am the God that created the heavens and the earth. I will give you what you need to fulfill what I've given to you, the task that I've given to you. And so we just shouldn't be so preoccupied with our inadequacy or being so perfect in what we do. A common catchphrase that I come back to is, do your very best and let God's grace do the rest. And so, yeah, just don't be so preoccupied with just being perfect, because you'll never be able to depict God's splendor and beauty. But just do your best and allow God to work through that.
I like that. Do your very best and allow God's grace to do the rest. Father, is there anything that you wanted to add to that before I ask you the next question?
Well, whenever I'm hearing these just excellent young Catholic content creators so enthusiastically speaking about these beautiful things, I think of Our Lady. She's the most perfect creature. She's the most beautiful of all of God's creation. So I think that if our Lord Jesus is going to save souls through these important and new means of technology, it's because Our Lady is going to guide that effort. That's all.
Brilliant. Yes, ultimately, Our Lady is the one, more than any of us, who wants to draw souls closer to her Son. So we have to look to her. And speaking of how beautiful Our Lady is, Father, and how we look at beautiful art and the means that we use to do it, this question for you, is the value of art all about the beauty of the end product and its ability to inspire our hearts, or is there something more? And what does that have to do with the difference between looking up at the actual Sistine Chapel ceiling versus us looking at a beautiful piece of AI-generated sacred art on our iPhone?
Yes, well, I think that beauty is both in the artifact that's produced, and there is something beautiful about the AI digital two-dimensional thing we see on our screen, because at some point it's abstract. It is quite a lot of steps back from the actual image. That is, Franco or John or anybody else is telling the computer how to craft that image. So there is some creativity there. That's quite a lot different because, you know, the sculpture that Michelangelo makes or the painting that Raphael or any of the great masters, you know, John Bruegel's or any of them are actually putting on the canvas, this is a something more immediate. It's a more immediate imitation of God's creative act. That's what art is. It's human beings imitating the creative process that God, the creator and originator of the universe, put into the material world. So we are sharing in God's creative power by the act of creating artistic things, and whether that's music or literature or, in this case, images. So because something like looking at the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, as you brought up there, Ryan, or standing in front of a painting or beholding a sculpture, that's something more proximate to the creative act of the artist. It's going to be a better way of communicating that creative act from the artist to the viewer or to the listener. So computer-generated art is abstracted several degrees from that, but there is still some communication that's happening there. So we just have to remember that the closer we get to the actual act of communication as viewers, I think the closer we are to the creative act of God.
So there's something valuable in actually encountering the artist behind the artwork. That is a part of what makes artwork valuable. Thank you for that, Father. That's a brilliant point. So more on that, John. So given the ocean of incredibly compelling AI art out there now, and the ease with which content creators can make AI art and then post it online, how do you convince our fast-paced culture that they should still seek real art?
To be honest, I don't think it requires much convincing, because I'm seeing the tide change. And I think as our culture is so health aware, we're starting to wake up to the fact that social media and inauthenticity can be damaging to the human person. And so in a way, we kind of look at social media as the modern day cigarette. You know, at some point, like, everybody was kind of smoking, but now they've woken up to the fact that it can be damaging. And so now people are more drawn to more healthier lifestyles. And I think the same can be applied to this observation of beautiful art and just beauty in general. People are drawn to what is true and authentic. As far as how we can contribute to that, really it's just, as artists, just creating art that is beautiful and allowing people to see that contrast difference.
Thank you again, Father Ambrose, Franco, and John, for being with us today. And thank you for joining us. Don't forget to join us next week with host Father Joseph Mary Wolfe, right here on the Catholic Sphere.